I had a whole rant that I like wrote up on the bus. I mean, not like I wrote the rant, but I made a bunch of notes. And I was like, yeah, I'm really gonna go in on this. And then by last night, I was like, do I really feel that strongly about it?
Howdy, it's Wednesday, December 18th, 2024, and this is episode 243 of Do For A Win, the Atlantic City podcast. I'm Kyle Alaska, joined, as always, by Craig Stone. What's good, Craig?
We have a trip report.
That's very good. The best news, I think, that could happen.
You know what I just realized as I'm looking at this right now? I totally forgot to put an always, once, never in there.
Oh.
And I'm certainly not thinking of one on the fly.
I mean, it's a trip report episode.
Nothing but trip report. We do have some news. There was a decent amount of news happening. And every time another news thing came across my social media or my email, I was like, come on, we got a trip report. I can't be dealing with all this news. Couldn't your restaurant have closed 2 weeks from now instead of now?
We'll see if we even get to the news, given that we have some time constraints today. And, you know, we have not a whole lot to talk about probably for the next few episodes.
We can just record another episode tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Back to back.
Yeah, to make up for episode 241 not existing.
Hey, it's on. It's back. Not back, but it is now on iTunes. I had to tweak the time that it was published, and that tricked Apple into like repushing it to people's feeds. So it works. If you are very confused about the skipped episode, it's now there in your feed. So
maybe not for next episode, but the episode after. We should do a best of 2024 episode. Those are always good. I haven't done one in a few years, I think.
It's true. They're very long. And take a long time to edit, which makes me reluctant.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
If you edit this out, I'll know which way you're leaning. So we went to AC.
We did. It was good. I had a pretty good time, I think.
the most ringing endorsement.
Yeah, and I think we should probably go back to AC sometime. So I don't really have anything else to say about the trip. Do you want to dive into what you thought of the trip?
So what'd you guys do before I got there? Seemed like nothing.
Yes, it seemed like nothing. That would be accurate. I got there at 3:30. I checked in. I had a very nice stop on the way down at the Aldi and had the classic Aldi experience of, I'm just going to get, you know, a couple waters and a Gatorade. And then I was like, ooh, this is very cheap wrapping paper. Let me buy that. Ooh, look at all these cheap snacks. So I ended up with a lot of snacks in my room. But I did get wrapping paper for the holidays, so that's productive.
Are you impressed that I wrapped your Christmas present myself and I wrote DFAW Craig on it?
I appreciated DFAW Craig on it. I also really appreciated the gift.
Yeah.
I haven't had one yet, though.
Ah.
Kyle brought me a box of Built Bars, protein bars, which I do eat a protein bar every day.
Yeah, if you know Craig, that's the fastest way to his heart.
It is. I throw one in my backpack when I go to work, and then when I get hungry in the afternoon, I'm like, yeah, protein bar. Delicious. But I've never had a Built Bar. I usually eat those Robert Irvine's Fit Crunch.
Hmm.
But... yeah, before you got there, I didn't have any Built Bars. I got there, and I was the first one there by quite a bit, and I checked in at Tropicana, and I think I just wandered around and played some video poker and some stupid slots, waiting for other people to get there. Other people did not arrive until later, so we had talked about going to the Seed or to Irish Pub or something before dinner, but by the time we were all even in the same place, it was like 6:25, and we had a 7:45 reservation at Doc's, so... we ended up just taking an Uber over to Docks, which really it was like 2.5 blocks. We should have just walked, but I have Uber credit. And also I vividly remember the last time or the first time I went to Docks going to like walk out the door to get a cab and the people at the host stand being like, wait a minute. No, no, no. We will call you a cab. You wait inside, which I don't know. It seemed totally fine because we walked back afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think they're always a little overprotective, I guess, of their guests.
I mean, especially from Tropicana, it's very, very short. So we ate at Doc's, got a couple cocktails, got a bunch of oysters. The oysters were very good. I got the halibut special, which is not something I would normally get. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to get some seafood. I did the crab last time, famously, just a bunch of crab and some butter. But the halibut, yeah, it was like a halibut on spinach, I think, with crab meat on top of it. It was very good. And I'm not normally a fish eater, but I would say halibut is extremely mild. And by the time I got to the end of it, I was like, I'm kind of done with fish. But that was like the last two bites. But it was really good. Also, I got two cocktails, the Hotel Georgia, which was like a gin sour sort of, and an espresso Manhattan, not an espresso martini. And that was fantastic. It tasted like tiramisu. It was really good. It was basically dessert in a glass.
Yeah. And that's what you like.
That is what I like. Everybody seemed to enjoy their Doc's experience. We were upstairs, actually, at Doc's, which
I've never been. Yep.
It's pretty loud up there, I'll say.
Actually, I think I may have been upstairs before the remodel.
Yeah.
But I don't remember.
Yeah, but it was good. A very good restaurant. I have to say, in listening back to the last episode, I said something about Doc's not feeling like Atlantic City because it's just like a nice restaurant. But it's extremely Atlantic City. It's like 100 years old. Come on, what more could you want? It was a ridiculous statement to make on the last podcast.
Feel like saying Knife and Fork doesn't feel like Atlantic City.
Right. So then we went back to Tropicana, and at that point you were arriving.
I was arriving. I was actually leaving.
We were all sort of waiting for you to get there.
Uh-huh.
And then you parked and went on some wild journey very out of the way to a couple of bars for some reason.
For some reason. So, yeah, I got there. I think you guys were still at Doc's. I parked in the Noise Arts Garage, as I usually do, and walked down to Tropicana and checked in and was happy to see I still got a Havana Tower room. This was like 10 o'clock or whatever that I checked in, maybe a little bit before. So I was worried they were going to be like, our last room is in the Chelsea Tower or something, but they did not do that. So my room was actually very nice. Yeah, I checked in. I threw my stuff in my room. And basically, you guys at that point were like, yeah, we're not going out anywhere. We're walking back to Tropicana now. And I was like, forget that. I'm going to go to Irish Pub and King's Pub,
which were entirely out of the way for you from
Tropicana
or from the garage. I thought you were going from the garage.
No, I checked in first.
Okay.
I went from the garage to Tropicana to King's Pub to Irish Pub to Tropicana.
I think within like 2 minutes of you leaving Tropicana, we were at Tropicana.
No, I think actually when I left, you guys were like all in your rooms or something.
Right. So just absurd. We were all very confused by this move. In that we were in the same place and then we were no longer in the same place.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like you guys were just going to gamble or whatever. And I just wasn't ready for that. Needed to get a beer somewhere that was not like, you know, Chickies and Pete's or something.
I have a bone to pick with you.
All right.
I'm extremely annoyed about this, I will say.
Okay.
Because I wanted to go to Irish Pub and we were in the same place. And if you had said I'm going to Irish Pub, I would have gone with you to Irish Pub.
When I asked via text or whatever, you're like, no one wants to go to Irish Pub. And I was like, all right.
I do not remember you asking if anybody wanted to go to Irish Pub. There was no sense that anyone was going to Irish Pub, well, that you were going to Irish Pub. You sent me a text from Irish Pub, like, surprise, look where I am. And I was like, what the fuck? I want to go to Irish Pub. You know I want to go to Irish Pub. And now you went to Irish Pub with no one else.
I made it clear that, you know, well, maybe I didn't make it clear.
There was zero fucking clarity.
Well, the impression I got from people was that they did not want to go anywhere. You were all going back to Trop. And I was like, well, I'm going to King's Pub and Irish Pub. So,
except you did not say you were going to King's Pub and Irish Pub. You went and then texted where you were at. You specifically did not text. It was a surprise.
So I set the world record, though, for a round trip from Tropicana to having a full pint at King's Pub and Irish Pub and getting back to Trop. So 49 minutes, I think, is what it was. I was aiming for an hour, so I was happy to do that. And also, by the way, it sounds like you told me that as I texted saying I was leaving Irish Pub that you got a text or like a message on Twitter from Megan Kay saying she was at Irish Pub and where are we?
Right.
So it sounded like I just missed her.
That's true. It sounded like you missed her by about a minute.
Yeah. We were probably actually there at the same time, but unknowingly.
I have to say that my room at Tropicana looked very nice. And then as I was using the bathroom in the morning, I was like, there sure is a lot of like dirt and hair on the floor in the bathroom. Oh. It was kind of gross.
My Tropicana room was very nice. It was pretty high floor. I don't remember exactly which, 66 maybe or something like that. It was all the way on the end of the hall. So it was very quiet, literally facing out of Atlantic City.
Yeah.
Like one of the end rooms, not on the left or the right as you walk down the hall. I would have to say I was pleasantly surprised. Maybe not totally surprised, but my room at Tropicana was nicer than the average Tropicana room.
Yeah, I feel like Havana's kind of hit or miss. Like, so we've had a very musty room. We've had very nice rooms.
Mm-hmm.
My room in the morning smelled like a fart.
And that's
I was
good.
Like, was that me? Or was that, I don't know. It's very odd. Surprised. Did somebody just like walk down the hall, like crop dusting the hall?
Why not both?
All of the above. I don't know. It was not pleasant, would say, in the morning.
So what else did we do at Trop? I feel like that night when I got back, people were just playing various games. I know I played some $50 tiles for a while you guys were doing something.
They did have tiles.
They did have tiles.
The last couple times they did not have tiles.
It's buried. It's like the farthest table from the rest of the casino floor next to the noodle bar right now. But it was open on Saturday night, which I was happy to see.
Apparently, I just played like a lot of video poker and didn't do well at it at various spots in Tropicana. I played some Huff and More Puff. I played some Little Shop of Horrors, which is a very fun game. I won $80 on Little Shop of Horrors in that session. That's great.
Yeah, I played some with you that night and won $50. So
Little Shop of Horrors is great because it's actual bonus games. It's not just the free spins. So it feels like more of a game than, say, like Buffalo, where you just get free spins. So I enjoy it. It's a good one.
Yeah. I played a couple hours of Tiles. I think I sat down next to you while you were playing something, and I played some Dragon Coin for a little bit, and then I think I went to sleep at like 12:30 or something like that.
I should point out that just like last time I stayed at Tropicana, at one point at around, 11 at night, I tried to order a drink, and it said the boss drink ordering system is down. And so that's the same thing that happened last time, and you were just kind of at the mercy of whatever the waitresses came around with. At one point, I was playing some slot, and a waitress came by and was like, "What do you want? I have Sex on the Beach. I have an Amaretto Sour." I think at that point, I had ordered a Miller Lite that had not come out, and it had been like 30 minutes, and it was very clear that Miller Lite was not coming out. And so I was like, "Oh, I ordered a Miller Lite." And she's like, "No, I have Sex on the Beach."
Amaretto Sour is not bad.
So I had the Amaretto Sour.
Yeah.
It was fine. But yeah, kind of funny. And then like 10 minutes later, the system was back on. So I ordered a beer, and then that beer took like 30 minutes to come out. And so then I tried to immediately order another beer, and it was like, you have to wait 10 minutes to order another beer. So then at exactly 10 minutes, I ordered another beer. And then when I was maybe halfway through that beer, I was playing video poker over by Boogie Nights. At this point, you know, I've had however many cocktails at Doc's. I've had, within the span of less than 15 minutes, two beers at the video poker machine. I had an Amaretto Sour not that long before that. And the waitress comes by seemingly sort of annoyed. And she was like, "Do you want another beer?" And I was like, no, I'm good. And she was like, "Here, take it." And put it down on my machine and like stormed off. So I don't know what was going on with that, but I ended up having a beer that I definitely did not need at the end of the night. And then while I drank my beer and played video poker, I ended up awake until 2:15, still down at the casino floor. So never will I go to sleep early.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was pretty much my night at Tropicana. And then we woke up. I slept in pretty late. I think it was like 8:50 by the time.
Yeah, you said you were annoyed because you thought everyone was just texting you at like 6 in the morning, but instead it was 8:50.
Yeah, I got up to pee, I think like a little before 6. And then what felt like 5 minutes later, my phone was like buzz, 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 buzz. And I was like, why is everybody texting? Like, surely people are not texting about breakfast at like 6:05. And then I looked over and it was 8:52. I was like, oh, wow, that was a lot of sleeping that I didn't realize I did. So felt pretty good getting a decent amount of sleep, you know, by the
good.
It's like almost 7 hours of sleep. I just threw on clothes and brushed my teeth, and we met at Gilchrist for breakfast. We walked right in. No wait. I'm surprised.
Sunday morning.
Near checkout time.
Yeah, 9:30, something like that. It was like 9:30, right?
Yes. Yeah, it was 9:30 because I said, like, let's time it and see how quickly we're out of here. I thought we were going to be out of there by 9:45 because I think we ordered at 9:30. And it was like 9:55, which is slow for Gilchrist, I'll say. 25 minutes at Gilchrist, 30 minutes at Gilchrist. That's a long time.
Yeah. It was delicious, though, as always.
It was delicious. I got the blueberry pancakes, I think, for the first time ever.
That's crazy that you've never had them. They're so good.
They are good. I think I prefer regular.
You like
pancakes.
Plain?
It's like an alternate. Sometimes you got to switch it up.
The one hiccup at Gilchrist was we got our check, which was not $100, but I'm like, I've got this Diamond Celebration dinner. I should try to use it. So I went and I'm like, can I use my Diamond Celebration dinner? And the guy's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
and I gave him my card and he swiped it and like it came back and it said paid $90 or whatever it was. And I'm like, that doesn't look good.
Yeah.
So sure enough, I checked and he just used my comps.
That sucks.
Whatever.
Then everybody went and, you know, played a little bit, got showered, checked out. Had to go put our stuff in the cars because we were checking out 11. Checkout time at Trop, without fail, is just an absolute disaster.
The elevators are a disaster going down to the lobby. The elevator going to the parking garage is even more of a disaster.
I think I had to wait for 4 elevators going down to get to the lobby.
The good thing for me is because I was on a high floor, so at least I got right on an elevator, but then like there was definitely plenty of stopping at floors with people looking disgruntled below us when they could not get on our elevator.
I got on my floor and it was full at that point, and then it stopped at every floor on the way down.
Yeah.
I was not on a very high floor though, so every floor was like 5 or 6 more floors. It's just a mess. I mean, they need like somebody directing people because nobody could figure out where the stairs are. And part of that is because the stairs to the garage are actually right at the bottom of the elevators to the Havana Tower through a door that says employees only, which they have propped open. And we tried to go up some stairs at one point. Like, we walked up the ramp to the garage to the second floor and then went in some stairs and ended up in a place that we were definitely not supposed to be in. It was very much staff only. And we were like, what's this? And with, like, 50 other people because everybody else is trying to do the same thing. And then eventually we did find the correct stairs. I don't know. It was like refugees fleeing a war-torn country or something. Like, it just looked absurd. Like, everybody carrying all their bags, trudging up these insanely crappy stairs. A human turd on one of the landings on the stairs. There was a dead owl on one of the landings of the stairs, which is just a bizarre thing to see. In a parking garage enclosed staircase, there's just an owl carcass. Like, I don't understand at all.
Makes sense.
Clearly no staff member from Tropicana has ever set foot in those stairs and been like, oh, should probably like call the
clean
city
up
to clean
this
up now.
Turd and owl.
Yeah, I mean, it smells like pee, but every staircase and every garage in
Atlantic City smells like pee.
Basically everywhere smells
yeah,
like pee.
True.
But yeah, that was a whole experience. Then, you know, getting the elevator down from the garage once you put your stuff in your car, extremely easy. Everybody's getting in their car and going home,
yeah.
Which we were not doing.
I mean, I told everyone via text, just take your stuff to the table and then go in an hour and there's going to be no line whatsoever. But I think everyone was like desperate to put their stuff in their car, I guess, for reasons. So
I think everyone but you had multiple. Like, I had a big bag full of waters and stuff from Aldi and also my duffel bag. Whereas if I just had a backpack, like, certainly I would have just done that. But I wasn't going to carry, like, 25 pounds of water and Gatorade around the whole time and Red Thunder energy drinks. Should have bought more Red Thunder energy drinks. I think that was my key Aldi takeaway. Truly the thing that ruined the trip.
Not enough Red Thunder.
Yeah. So then we played a little bit at Tropicana.
I played some UTH with some people that morning. I don't know what you were doing again.
More Little Shop of Horrors.
I think the other four of us were playing UTH, which was fun.
I did go play Piggy Bankin', and I hit a $209 bonus on a 50-cent bet, so that was good.
That's good.
I got, like, the pig that filled up the entire screen. It's, like, the locked spins, sort of like the gong ball things in Dragon Link or what's the other one, Lightning Link. But they connect, and so you need the pigs to all be touching each other, and I filled the entire screen with pigs, and
that's a lot of pigs.
Hit for $200, so that was good. Helped my win-loss for the day quite a bit. Yes, I was exactly even at Tropicana, so I'll take that.
Basically, everyone went to Vagabond at that point, except you, who did a few other things. On the way, because I had to walk back to the garage to get my car, I took the $20 Caesar's ticket that one of our listeners so kindly sent to us and put it through a $10, it was actually a $5 three-reel slot machine that you could bet two times on, so it was like $10 a spin. My first spin, I got my money back. Second spin, lost. Third spin, lost. So, unfortunately, nothing came of that $20, but thank you very much to the listener that sent that, who Craig surely knows his name.
Paul B. Paul B. Thank you for sending that.
Yep, thank you so much. If you want us to truly light any of your money on fire, you can always send us ticket in, ticket out, tickets.
It's pretty much the only way I'll play slots at that denomination, except that I was inspired because I didn't make the walk to Caesars with you because everybody was going to Vagabond.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were walking out, I swiped my card at the Caesars promotional kiosk and it was like, you have $20 in free play and a free bottle of tequila, which I didn't go get.
At Trop?
At Trop, yeah. And so I went and played my $20 of free play on Top Dollar right by the high limit area. So it was $3 a spin. I had one hit that paid $4, and then every other spin paid nothing. So I didn't get to play the Top Dollar game, which I don't think I've ever actually gotten the bonus in Top Dollar or Pinball. But that's the way you got to use 20 slot dollars. It's all or nothing. Either I'm going to win $200 or I'm leaving with $0.
I mean, that's how I feel about all slots, pretty much.
That's a good point. That's not how I feel at all.
Yeah.
I'm usually playing 50 cents. And sometimes you hit that piggy banking bonus and you get $200.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, so we went to Vagabond while you were in Trop, and then you went out to buy some fudge, I think, at Steele's.
I went to get some fudge, and then as I was getting fudge, I was like, I haven't been on the boardwalk at all. We're staying on the boardwalk. We're about to leave the boardwalk. So I walked like another 100 feet to the Playcade because I wanted to see what pinball machines they had, which they only had two, and they weren't great. But they did have Miss Pac-Man, which is my favorite game of all time. And so I put a dollar in, and I got four quarters. Miss Pac-Man was 50 cents. I put in the first 50 cents and started to play, and it was not the sped up version, which is what should be the default version at any arcade. It was the slow version. And so I didn't even bother to put in my second two quarters. I was like, this is painful. So terrible Miss Pac-Man experience at the Playcade.
Truly the worst.
And then I went back to my car.
You should have gone to Irish Pub or whatever then.
I should have gone to Irish Pub. I should have come to Vagabond even later. I think that was my key
time. I mean, you look pretty miserable there, so I agree with you.
I was so done by the end of the third quarter. Like, I'm not a big football watcher.
Right, you don't like football. You don't really love the Ravens.
I can't actively watch football is the big thing. Like, I'll put it on a lot and just sort of, like, passively watch it while, like, editing the podcast or...
I mean, I told you before the trip that you should go to Lucky Snake and, like, the outlets or whatever while we're at Vagabond, but you didn't listen to me.
I wanted to hang out.
You didn't look like you were having a good time.
Once the result was very clear, and it was, like, also a bad game...
Right.
It was just sort of like, okay, we're clearly done here, right? Like, we all know how this game's going to end. Like, what's going to change in the next quarter of this game? Are we just, like, waiting to see if Justin Tucker misses an extra point? Seems like that was the only question.
I mean, yes, I think, basically.
But it's funny because, you know, I love baseball and soccer, and surely 99.9% of Americans would say that both of those sports are 1,000 times more boring than football. But
yes. I mean, especially on TV.
I'm just not as into it. Also, everybody's looking at their phone for fantasy, and I just don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, I don't have any fantasy or anything, so.
I will say, at Vagabond, last time we went, I was sort of very meh on the food. Last time we went, we got the nachos. Mm-hmm. This time, you guys also got the nachos, and the reviews seemed very meh on the nachos.
So here's the thing with the Vagabond nachos. I think they were pretty good. It's just that the cheese they use on it is very bland tasting, so... If you want really artificially flavored cheese, like, you're not getting that there. So my nachos were incredible if you put some of the buffalo sauce from the wings on them, but otherwise they are a little bit on the bland side.
But I thought the wings were very good.
The wings were very, very good.
I did not try the calamari.
The calamari was good. I got a Reuben. It was very good. I had sweet potato fries that were also good.
I got something called a mangia mia. I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly. Our New Jersey Italian listeners will surely shit all over me for that. But it's like a roast pork sandwich with some peppers and some other stuff on it. That was extremely good. I thought that was excellent. The fries, Old Bay fries, also very good. So I'm totally back on board with the food at Vagabond and also the...
Just don't get the nachos?
Well, I didn't even try the nachos this time. And again, like, they're not bad. They're just, medium. But we both got that Vagablond beer. They're like
house beer
good. That was very good. Mm-hmm. And then I got some other local beer after that was also very good. So
I got an Amber Ale after that that was also good.
Yeah, pretty good beer selection, good food. You know, it's Guy Fieri approved, so what else can you really ask for?
It was super empty in there when we were watching our game. And then, you know, as the Steelers-Eagles game got closer, it was filling up more and more. And it seemed like it was pretty much full when we left.
Yeah. So after that, we went to Borgata.
Yep.
And checked in. I actually checked in and just immediately handed my keys to our friends Matt and Dave, so they stayed in the main Borgata Tower.
Taylor and Dave. Matt had gone home at this point.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, Matt left. Matt had gone. Yes, Taylor and Dave. And then you and I went to the MGM Tower, which...
It's so nice.
I didn't even go see the Borgata main tower room, which I sort of regret, because I should have gone and looked at it and seen what it looks like.
I think next time I go, if I'm staying alone, I'll stay in the old tower just to see what it's like. But the MGM Tower is so nice.
The hallways are so nice. The rooms are so incredibly nice. I sort of weirdly like woke up and checked out and was like, I wish I had spent more time in the room because it's so nice. Yeah. Like, I really was not in the room. I basically like dropped my stuff off in the room and then I was not back into the room until after 2 o'clock in the morning and like went to bed and then woke up.
Shining your flashlight everywhere like always.
5 hours later. I tried to be more discreet about it, but apparently not.
No, plenty of flashlight.
That was the check-in process. I booked it to the Sixes or Better machine, which if you've been playing a lot of regular draw poker and then you switch to stud poker, it takes you a while to get in the groove of what is going on in this game. And then once you get it, it's like, oh, there's nothing going on in this game. Literally just you double if you've made a hand and you don't double if you haven't made a hand.
The game is bad.
It's a bad game.
It's probably, like, fine in terms of, like, you know, you'll do better than playing slots for your money, but it is totally unfun. I played the next morning a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean, like, 20 spins, and I got back to even, and I'm just like, cash out. This game is terrible.
I was sitting there next to a little grandma who was like, how do I hold the kings here? Like, I want the king. And I was like, no, it's not draw poker. The only decision is whether or not you want to double your bet, and then you get another card. Like, you can't pick cards. And then a few minutes later, I think it still hadn't clicked. And she was like, wait, so I can't hold these two cards. And I was like, no, there's no decision to be made, really.
Except if you want to double or not.
Right. And I was like, yeah, it's not the most exciting game. And she's like, no, it's really not. And then she gave up on it like 2 minutes later, which was probably the right decision. I did double on four to a flush once and got a flush. And that paid very well.
Mm.
Which I think is the only not made hand that you double down on. But I don't know. I enjoy it for a change of pace. But yes, it's not a good game. I can't recommend it to anyone in good conscience. But I did have fun playing it.
I know you love it. Can I get enough?
We also tried Crisscross Poker. And I actually sat down and played a table game.
I can't believe that you sat down with me. That game was very unfun.
The reason I sat down is because it was fairly easy to understand.
Right.
Even though you end up with $50 on the table on most hands or more.
Even more than that if you have made a hand, yeah.
Even though it's a $10 table, which is way higher than I would ever risk. It's like a slot in that you may get 20 or 30 of those dollars back, even if you have a crappy hand. I didn't play that many hands of that game. I played maybe like 10 hands, and then you lost your buy-in, I think, and were like, I'm out of here. And then I looked down at my chips, and she was about to deal, and I'm like counting up. I was like, oh, I have exactly my buy-in. I was like, call her up. I'm out of here. I'm not playing any more of this game. So it was interesting to see the game, I guess, but I would not call the game interesting. Right. There's so many tables of it there, too, and there were a lot of
people
playing.
Yeah, there are so many tables of it, yeah.
It's weird. It's just, I'm surprised.
It's not fun. It's not a fun game.
People seem to like it. There are two bonus bets. One is a 5-card bet where you're actually betting basically on the dealer's hand, right?
Yep.
If you haven't seen it.
You get two cards. There's 5 cards arranged in a cross above. There's basically 3 bets. Okay, so there's 2 ante-bets. There's like 2 hands you can make, basically. There's a hand that goes one direction in the cross, like up and down, and another hand that goes the other direction in the cross, which is like left to right. So it's like 2 5-card hands, pretty much. And to not lose your bet, you need to make at least a pair of 6s in each of those hands or whatever. The 2 hands are like separate bets on the table. And then there's 1 last bet, which is the best hand out of either of your 2 hands, pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you have at least a pair of 6s in one of your hands, you'll always bet the max, which is 3x on the middle bet.
Yeah. And so the bets are the ante for both hands. So it's actually, you're putting $20 out just for the ante. And then if you stay in...
You see the 4 cards.
Yeah, you see the 4 cards
on the outside.
On the outside, so not the middle card, which the middle card goes into both of your hands, basically. Right.
Yep.
And then you can either stay in 1 to 3 times your bet.
You make your first bet after you see your 2 cards, and then the second bet is after you see the 4 cards. Yes.
Yes. So at a $10 table, it's actually $20 just to stay in, and potentially you could end up with $130. Yes.
And I actually folded one of my hands because I was dealt 2-4, and you told me that its basic strategy is to fold, basically, if you don't have anything higher than a 5.
Right.
And the dealer seemed quite surprised that someone was folding pre-flop. Like, I don't think that happens a whole lot in that game, so.
Yeah, I think it's, like, unsuited if your highest card is 5 or below. Which, yeah. Like, how often does that happen? Not very.
I mean, I had 2-4 unsuited, so.
And one of the things that you'd think would be interesting about the game, but actually, to me, makes it more boring, is that even if your hand totally sucks, you can still suck out if the dealer gets a pair, right? Like, you can still win. So, like, what you get dealt doesn't even seem that important. I mean, if you get a pair, I guess it's very exciting because it's like, okay, I'm definitely winning here, like, on every hand. So that's cool. But, like, that doesn't happen very often. So then you're getting, you know, like, oh, king 6. Well, I guess I'll just wait and see, like, what the dealer – it just doesn't feel like you have that much input. It feels very similar to Double Down Stud, but on a table.
I mean, I think a lot of these table games are like that. You know, 3-card poker, certainly like that. 4-card poker. Like all of the newer table games, I feel like, are kind of this same thing where...
What about UTH? You seem to like UTH.
I like UTH. I mean, I think it's the same way. Plenty of times you'll win a huge bonus or whatever because the board happens to be like a flush or whatever. And you're like, woo! And like your hand doesn't have anything to do with it.
So what did you do after Crisscross Poker? You played craps at some point.
So no, before that, we all, except for you, played craps. It went very bad for a while. It was in for quite a lot. And so I just cashed in my final $100 and was like, this is it. And Taylor and Dave left down quite a bit. And right after they left, the guy whose roll it was hit them all. So that was a very good roll for me. And I ended up cashing out $1,000 up on the roll.
That helps.
So that was good. After Crisscross Poker, I played a little bit of slot machines. I played the Mask slot, which was stupid. I ended up going to bed at like 10:30 or 11 that night. So
yeah, I was so incredibly tired.
Pretty early.
Like after dinner. And I was like, I'm going to do the smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did not do the smart thing. You'll be very surprised to know. Part of that is because I really wanted to play at B-Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret my B-Bar experience, but I'll say I kept going to check B-Bar because it never looked like very many people were there. But somewhere between a quarter and a third of all of the machines at B-Bar were out of service. So even though it never looked crowded, it was because there were a bunch of empty seats because the machines were broken. So yeah, Borgata needs to get on that. It's very annoying.
Is that better than the video poker bar in the sports book? Because that seemed pretty open a couple times I was wandering around there.
It was open late night. It wasn't earlier when football was still on.
Yeah. That's probably true.
But
the drinks are better at B-Bar.
I think if I was just drinking beers, the one at the BetMGM book would have been totally fine. But yeah, mm-hmm. I wanted cocktails. So finally did get a seat at the B-Bar, and it was a machine where if you wanted to play single line video poker, like regular video poker, it was a dollar or more. So I ended up playing spin poker, which was 25 cents, and I was like, oh, it's basically like triple play video poker. So I'll just hit max bet and it'll be 375. And then I hit the max bet and I got kings or whatever, and so it just paid me my bet back. And then hit the max bet again. And then, you know, I put in $60 and it was like, you have $25. And I was like, or whatever, $35. I was like, oh man, I'm playing $25 a hand. Because it's 100 lines on spin poker. So even though it's three games, the number of combinations is 100. So each of those lines is a quarter. But I got dealt two pair. And on one of the hands, it became a full house. It's something like that. Ended up immediately up like, I don't know, $60 or something like that. Because what would have not been a huge hit was pretty big because it was a $25 bet. So then I was like, okay, no, this is dumb. I'm certainly not doing this anymore. And just went to regular triple play, jacks or better, which was 375 hand, and played that for a while. Ended up losing my winnings from the big bet I made. But mm-hmm. I did get two cocktails in very short order. I got a gin and tonic, and then quickly an old fashioned, I think like 10 minutes later or 12 minutes later, I got an old fashioned, both comped. Maker's old fashioned, which is a really good drink to be able to get comped, which is nice. And certainly the big argument for B-Bar and why B-Bar is good, even though I was annoyed about all the machines being broken. And then I got a Dogfish 60 minute on draft, which was also very good. As soon as I got the Dogfish, I just cashed out and left a big tip and walked around with my Dogfish and played some stupid slots. But ended up, after playing slots and losing it most of the slots, seeing an open Bubble Craps machine, which I played a decent amount of Bubble Craps at Resorts last time we went, and sat down. It's $5 minimum, which I think Resorts is either two or three. But had a really good time playing Bubble Craps. I have to say, just like sitting there, I think I played Bubble Craps for like an hour and a half. I only put in $20, and I was like, why did I only put in $20? I was like, this $5 craps isn't going to last at all. And then I just like immediately hit a couple points and was up to like $60. And then lose a roll and then hit a couple more points. And then after like an hour, I was up to like $200 or more. And at one point, I was like, I'm up for the trip if I just stop now. But I did not just stop now. I think I ended up making over $100 on Bubble Craps. I had a really good time playing it, which is funny because it's just a machine. It's not like playing real craps and touching the dice and stuff. But I don't know. I think Bubble Craps is a very enjoyable game for me as somebody who gets flustered by human interaction.
A little bit too anxious at the craps table. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like craps without any of the human interaction. And like the other nice thing is I can sit there sipping my beer. I can get a text in the middle of it. There's no rush, right? You can control the speed of the game however you want, which you can't even do with the stadium gaming version of craps. So I don't know. Good job, Inner Block. I love your Pop-O-Matic craps machines.
Yeah, they're fun. They're fun. I didn't play any at Borg. I mean, I played a ton of craps in general. So I had the one session that was up 1,000 that I mentioned. When I woke up, I played some craps at a totally empty table at like 6 in the morning or whenever I went down on Monday. That went badly. And then after you actually left for the trip, me, Taylor, and Dave played craps again on Monday and ended up winning a bunch that roll as well. So it was good.
The one other thing I did on Sunday night was I had $25 free play that I had to use on PyGow, poker, blackjack, even money bets on roulette. And so the blackjack tables were pretty crowded. And so eventually I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this on black on roulette. So walked over to a roulette table, put the coupon down. The guy like scanned my card really quick and was like, okay, where do you want it? And I was like, black. And he spun the wheel and was like, red. There goes my $25.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
The other guy at the table had his money on red, so it's like, okay, fine. I should have put my money with the other player, clearly, but...
No, it's no fun.
I played 2 table games, if you can count that roulette.
Yeah. It counts. One spin of roulette counts as a table game.
I was going to play Paigao Poker on Monday morning because the table was empty and it was $20. And mm-hmm. then I went and got a coffee and there was people at the table when I came back. And I was like, I don't want to play with all these randos. So I didn't play.
Sounds right. Sounds on brand.
If there was Pop-O-Matic Paigao Poker, I would have played that. Interblock Paigao Poker with the cards in a little bubble. And it shuffles them by bouncing them around. Sounds perfect.
You should try that. It sounds like a good game. You should try to make one.
Somebody can figure out the science of this. Mm-hmm. Same thing with tiles. Let's do it. Just a bunch of tiles clapping around in a bubble.
Like, you know, yeah. 32 tiles, just like...
You get the sound, at least.
Yeah. I think we should mention, so we went to...
We didn't talk about Noodles.
Noodles. Yeah, Noodles of the World.
Which is in a temporary space at Izakaya.
In the Izakaya space. I thought it was good, not great. I think I prefer Kwai, honestly.
I 100% prefer Kwai.
I frankly think I preferred Mukashi when we went there as well. But it was good. It's worth going to. I mean, I've never been to a noodle bar at a casino that I've been like, this is bad.
The one at Hard Rock I did not like at all. But I'm also not the target audience.
I didn't go there. I've been to Jinbang and Ocean. I think that's only okay. Maybe like one step below, but...
The space is too big for it, it feels. Mm-hmm. At first, when I was like, I forgot Izakaya had such a nice space, as I was sitting there, I was like, basically half of this place is cut off and not in use, and it feels very weird. So mm-hmm. hopefully they get it a permanent space and put something else in the Izakaya space, because I don't really like it there. I didn't like a lot of what we got. But I think that that was more like...
The food than
what we
like
ordered,
the quality
than,
of the restaurant.
Than the yeah. quality, yeah. Like I sort of... As we were placing the order, I was like, I don't think I'm going to like most of this. And I was correct.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. The like tofu thing, I didn't particularly... It just didn't taste like much to me. Like we got, what is it, Mapo tofu?
Mapo tofu? I thought it was very good.
And we got...
We got a roast duck.
Roast duck. I thought the roast duck was like borderline inedible.
I thought it was delicious. I don't know what your problem was.
I gave up after 3 pieces because the first piece I got was literally 100% bone.
Yeah.
And I just popped it in my mouth and I was like, oh, that's not edible food.
No.
And then the second piece I got was like entirely skin.
Are you someone who doesn't like love meat on the bone? Like my wife does not like having ribs or
I like meat on the bone
chicken.
If there's meat, but there was no meat.
Oh.
Like on the entire plate, which was like $43, I think, mm-hmm. there might have been 2.5 ounces of meat on there. So yeah, the first bite I got entirely bone, second bite entirely skin, which is apparently what you buy Peking duck for.
Yeah, no, it is. 100%.
And then the third bite was entirely fat. Oh. And so I was like, I'm done with it. Like, I'm not going to keep picking it.
I thought that was good.
Things.
There was General Tso's chicken, which was General Tso's chicken. It's not a dish that I ever really want to get or enjoy. But
yeah, I mean, I'll
fine.
Say...
I didn't eat any of it.
It was, like, very lightly breaded and, like, crispy on the outside and tender on the inside. I will say it was, like, very good for General Tso's. So, like, if you like General Tso's, which I do, like, I thought that was very good. And then the dumplings were very good, I thought. The, like,
the dumplings were very good. The edamame was good. What was the fourth dish?
I mean,
that we
you
got?
Can't fuck up edamame, like this freaking soybeans.
Oh, it was like a Kyoto udon, like a udon.
Yeah,
noodles.
I thought the udon was very medium. I was
fine.
Not a huge fan.
Yeah, yeah.
As we were leaving, I almost said to Dave, like, want to go get a slice of pizza? And I was like, that's crazy. But in retrospect, could have eaten a slice of pizza after we left.
Oh, I was very stuffed, but.
I was not at all, because
a lot of food. There. Yeah, I think me and Taylor were way more into it than you and Dave.
My inkling was that we needed another entree, especially if we were getting the tofu, and I should have vocalized that more.
Yeah. Or you should have just ordered more dumplings after the entrees came.
That's true. Once I saw everything out there, I should have been like, we need more food. But
anyway, I thought it was good. Not great. Like I said, I think Kwai is still my favorite of the noodle bars.
Yeah, I think I've been to Kwai 3 times now, and every time I thought it was very good and liked what I got better than what we got at Noodles of the World. Noodles of Cleveland, I should say.
You guys went to Bread and Butter in the morning?
We
did. Which I did not go to. So how was that?
I remember thinking Bread and Butter was like a revelation, right? Mm-hmm. Like there always used to be a crazy line. They had like really good breakfast sandwiches and pastries. The last 2 times I've went, the sandwich itself has been bland and the Kaiser roll that the sandwich comes on is just like not very good. I think the quality has just gone quite bad at Bread and Butter.
I didn't go with you guys. I was playing poker. I sat down with you at the end after you had finished. But the last couple times I've been to Bread and Butter, I have not liked it at all. I've gone to the Marketplace the last few times I've been in Borgata and had what I think is like a much better breakfast for the same price. down at the Mexican place in the marketplace.
Yeah, and Dave got his egg and cheese on toasted rye, which I think not getting the Kaiser roll is the way to go. I think it did cost like an extra $2, which is insane. But
for toasted rye?
For toasted rye. But like I know the croissant's an extra $2. The Kaiser roll is just bad. Like it's just a legitimately bad Kaiser roll. So like getting it on something else is definitely better. But also you shouldn't have to do that. So I don't know. Bread and butter, I would certainly not go if the line is long. But so then I think after bread and butter, I played like a little bit of slots and then went up and grabbed my stuff and headed out.
Yeah. For us, I think we ended up playing some four-card poker, which I lost a bunch of money at. Played some slots and video poker for a little while. We played the craps session, which I mentioned before, where we were up, me, Taylor, and Dave. Taylor and Dave ended up getting out probably like an hour or so after you did. And I stayed for like another hour after that, more or less, and played basically slots and video poker.
Yeah, I got a lot of texts of you playing slots, which was surprising, like Frankenstein and Wonka.
Slots went pretty good. Wonka went very well for me. I mean, I know it's a very well-known slot that's been around for quite a while, right? Probably like almost 10 years old at this.
Yeah, although there are so many versions. Like they're coming out with new versions like every 3 months.
Oh, are they?
It's crazy. Like the one that I saw at Borgata, I had never seen before.
I had two bonuses in like my 15 spins or whatever, so it went very well for me. I mean, one of the bonuses I won like $500 on, which was good.
At one point you texted saying, this is what drugs must be like.
Yeah, I mean, like it's a little bit too much for me, which is I think one of the reasons I got up so quickly. It's just lights and sounds and I don't like it.
Were you at one of the machines that's like 15 feet tall?
Yes, yeah, yes, yes. It's extremely intense. Tall. And so I was like, this is too much. So then I went to Frankenstein and played that for a little bit. And that is like, I think even worse with the lights and sounds.
Awesome.
So I turned my sound all the way down and it was much better, but there was someone sitting next to me and they had their sound all the way up. And it was just like so, so loud. And one, I'm like, I don't know how anyone can stand that.
Yeah.
But two, it was disruptive enough that I'm like, I need to leave.
Yeah. At one point I was playing, I think it was Wonder Woman, and somebody diagonally behind me was playing like Dragon Link or something with sound on absolute max. And I was like, this is really ruining my Wonder Woman experience. Like, even if I get the song, I'm not going to be able to hear it.
Right.
Make slots quieter.
So my slots went well. I think I finished up the trip by just playing some Jacks are Better, like my first just pure Jacks are Better experience. And it went very bad, as always. So that's how.
Yeah, video poker. I'm sure I would have been up for the trip if not video poker. And I didn't do bad at all. Like, totally acceptable, especially for two nights of comped rooms.
I was up quite a bit, so it was a good trip for me. Basically on the back of craps only. Craps I was way up on, and I was down a little bit by everything else.
Hey, man, you had a couple big bonuses on slots, and I think the biggest thing that I can take away is that you now think that slots and drugs are, like, the same high.
I mean, Wonka and Frankenstein both were, like, just way too intense.
The way I took that text was, like, because of the winning, you thought like, oh, this is, like, the dopamine hit of winning, but no. No, it's because of the insanity of Willy Wonka slots.
I don't know. Do you have any final thoughts? You were running up against your quitting time, so.
There are some things that I didn't do that I wish I had done, like walking on the boardwalk more. We talked about the seed, but then like people got there later than we thought, so there wasn't really time to do the seed. We didn't do the beer garden, although I have to say, with the canopy down around the bar, it like didn't look as enticing. I mentioned Irish Pub. We didn't make it to the outlets. I didn't play any tiles, which I was hoping to play some tiles. And there was a $20 tiles table, I think, like, very late at night. But I was like, do I really want to start playing tiles at 2 in the morning? Seems like something I should not do.
All right. In my defense, I pulled up the text chain. So I say, what are you guys doing when you leave Docks? And then I said, are you going to Irish Pub? You said, no takers for Irish Pub. We're going to Trop, so walking from Docks. And then I left and went to Irish Pub, basically. So it seemed pretty clear to me that no one was interested in Irish Pub.
But if you had said, I'm going to go to Irish Pub, I would have been like, sweet, I will meet you there. Which is one of the things that having a bigger group
literally
gets you,
said,
is like, if you want to do something.
No takers for Irish Pub was your text in full. So I went to Irish Pub.
But you did not indicate that you were going to Irish Pub. And you are a known Irish Pub hater, so I would not have taken that as you wanting to go to Irish Pub.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll chalk it up to miscommunication, which doesn't make me any less annoyed.
Also, like, I was perfectly happy being there alone, so there was that too. So. But I thought I was in the clear there. Yeah, I see you have some final thoughts in the notes about Borgata. I do tend to agree that the restaurant selection there is bad. So I don't know what happened, but the escalator was also closed down to the marketplace the whole time we were there. And I like the marketplace plenty. I think it's better than basically any of the restaurants on the upper level. But I'm not taking an elevator down. It's just too much standing and waiting. Like, it's just not something I'm going to do, which is a ridiculous claim, I think.
It's really crazy how bad the restaurant game at Borgata has gotten. Like, everything has gone totally generic.
It's generic, but it's, like, mildly expensive,
right,
and kind of fancy and not the right vibe for our trip. I mean, the noodle bar was fine. I would go back to that, but I don't need to go to, like, Borgata Steakhouse.
There's, like, B Prime. I mean, I guess they've got, like, Old Homestead, which is incredibly expensive, and, like, Angelina, which doesn't get good reviews. And then it's just a bunch of generic stuff. Even Noodles of the World is, like, in this temporary space and feels kind of awkward.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't love Metropolitan. It's, like, fine. It's probably the other, like, casual-ish restaurant they have along with the noodle bar. But, yeah, it was closed, and, like, I only think it's fine.
I mean, even Old Homestead is closed on Sundays. So, like, it's really just, like, almost entirely generic stuff available to us.
We weren't going to Old Homestead, but...
Right.
I think in terms of restaurants, Borgata is one of the worst properties in Atlantic City for restaurants, legitimately, which is a crazy statement, but I agree. I think it's bad. I think the marketplace for me is the only thing that keeps it even passable.
The weird thing is, as I was leaving and driving home, I was like, oh man, Borgata is so nice. I need to make sure I go to Borgata every trip.
And it is really nice. I mean, the MGM Tower is so nice.
Right. And the casino floor is very nice and the dealers are very good.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was thinking more about the other stuff at Borgata, I was sort of getting annoyed about it because B-Bar with the machine's broken. We talked about the restaurant selection. They're doing construction and where the video poker is and where they've moved all the Paigao tiles and poker tables to are in these weird dead zones that almost feel to me as bad as the downstairs of Caesars, where it just is awkward and isolated and not a nice place to play.
I kind of enjoy the new Asia room that they built that's full of baccarat now, which is in the old race book.
So I didn't go over there, but the tiles and stuff is in this.
It's like right outside it. It's right outside that and the poker room.
Yeah. Right, yeah. No, I don't like that.
I mean, I think the poker room's very nice. I did play poker for the first time in quite a while there. Had a fun time. Lost a bunch of money. I think I played poorly and got no cards, which is a not great combination, probably. But
so one thing you and Taylor both mentioned is rocket pots. What the hell is that?
Bomb pot?
Bomb pots, yes.
So every time there's a dealer change, everyone's like, ah, bomb pot, which just basically means you put in $10, you get your two cards, and you get to see the flop for free, but it's not just one flop, it is two flops. It's basically two hands of Texas Hold'em at the same time, so it's going to be a split pot game.
Yeah.
So you get your down cards and the flops for your $10, and then it's like you bet after the flop, you bet after the turn, you bet after the river, like normal.
So is it just a total free-for-all and everybody's betting like crazy
at
that point?
It's pretty nuts, yeah. So I said like I didn't come to bread and butter because it was like 10 minutes for one of the bomb pots because someone went all in with the nuts on one side and the other person had a very good hand on the other side and had to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that decision took forever. Like, I considered calling the clock on that person, but that's, like, a bit of an aggressive move, I think. Yeah. But it was, like, legitimately horrifically slow. Yeah, so that happens every dealer change. It's fun.
It's interesting. For our poker listeners, who I'm sure we have many of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've made all my complaints about Borgata. It's tough because I think there are things that are so good about Borgata, but, like, if... say Hard Rock had all those same issues, which also Hard Rock, their restaurant game is also not particularly good.
White House. Well, you don't like White House, so yeah.
I mean, especially if it was Ocean, right? Like we would be hammering them for this stuff.
Yeah.
And then I still left like, ooh, yeah, I love Borgata. And as I thought about it, it's like, it's got issues. Like there's things that are like very wrong with Borgata.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens after they're done with all the renovations they're doing now. I mean, there is quite a bit of construction happening too. So that is something to keep in mind, but we'll see what happens.
One thing I also have to say, and I've thought this forever about Borgata, I think I ended up at Machines right by it. So it really stood out. Amphora stinks. Even the times I've gone, going down that escalator, like this smells like food I shouldn't be eating. And especially playing over there, like you see just a huge line of people and it's like, I mean, I know it's good and I've been down there. I know people love it.
I actually do not love Amphora.
It smells like they just leave the roast beef out all night. Like that is what it smells like old meat.
I know it is very popular, but I think I only went once with you and I did not think it was great.
I've been more recently.
You've been
than
a few
that.
Times, yeah.
I thought the food was very good, but the smell that's emanating from there and the buffet is not good. And it wafts out into like huge sections of the casino in a way that's very unappealing. But that's my weird complaint. I'm sure a bunch of people will like say that I'm an idiot and that Amphora is the best and that we're fools for going to Noodles of the World, even though we couldn't have gone to Amphora if we wanted to because we don't have gold status.
Gold.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, we have some very quick news items that I think we should mention because they're going to time out here if we don't.
Okay, sure.
The first one being that Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall is closing Monday, December 23rd. Not permanently. It will reopen sometime in January. I'll link to a WPGTalkRadio.com article in which owner Mark Colazzo says, "This temporary pause will allow us to dream even bigger, refresh our space, and debut a new concept that reflects our commitment to delivering something special to our loyal customers and our community." So we'll see what happens at Tennessee Avenue Beer Hall. I don't know if it's just going to be a remodel or totally redoing the outside. Who knows? But big changes coming there. Also, who knows how long into January it will be closed. I'm assuming January is just absolutely their dead time. So probably if you're going to close, now's the time to do it. And then another thing that's closed is Atlantic City Bar and Grill. And the funny thing is there's a 97.3 ESPN article about it that just shows a picture of a post from the Everything Atlantic City Facebook group where somebody is like, "What's going on at Atlantic City Bar and Grill? It seems closed." And then one of the co-owners responds saying, like, "It was time to retire. We sold." So apparently that's the news. The rumors from everyone in that post is that it's going to become a dispensary, which caused a lot of dismay, I think, because there are a lot of dispensaries supposedly opening up in Atlantic City. But then a whole lot of people were also like, "Eh, good riddance. The place went totally downhill," which I thought it was fine when we went. Although I don't think it's a great sign when, like, the front door is closed and they're like, "You have to go around to the side door." No matter how dangerous you think the area is, surely you can come up with a solution that is not that. So that's my thought on Atlantic City Bar and Grill, my brief thought.
Yeah.
Sad that it's closed. We've got our little mugs. Now they're collector's items.
We do have our little mugs. Yeah, I mean, I think when we went, it was fine. But it's sad mostly, I guess, because it had been open for so long.
Yeah.
And they were the title sponsor of iloveac.com.
That's true.
Our favorite website.
It's a great website.
Yeah.
The aquarium opening, which was supposed to happen in December, has been delayed again. So that's a fun one. In October, it was announced that it was delayed until December, and now it's sometime in the new year. So Atlantic City spokesman Andrew Kramer said in a statement, which I found in this PhillyVoice.com article, "The only work left, both inside and outside, is the HVAC replacement. We've been assured that work will be finished before month's end, at which point the city will announce the official grand reopening date for the Atlantic City Aquarium." Do we need to set an over-under for the date?
March 1.
Ah, I was going to say March 1, so that's a perfect over-under then.
I would probably take the over, but...
I would go just under, but I don't understand. Right. Like, why, though? Why would you open before then in the middle
of
the winter?
Because it's for the residents and not the tourists.
Yeah. $5?
Sure, do it.
All right. We have another news item, but we'll save that one.
I think you'll win, but yeah, we can save that. All right. Well, thank you guys very much. If you want to reach out to us or any of our other listeners, you can do so at our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/doforwin. Find all of our great content and buy a shirt at doforwin.com. Reach out to Craig on Twitter or Blue Sky at doforwin or me at Kyle Askin. And send Craig questions to doforwin@gmail.com and we will answer them on air. You didn't even give me that. I had to just do it for memory.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to add the
agenda.
Closing. Wow. Good job.
But I'm a professional, so...
That's true. We'll see if I remember to add this bit to our little bit spreadsheet for one thing.
Yeah, I think we need to go back and probably some have resolved by now. So, because we made some for just 2024, right?
Yeah, so some, if not have resolved now, will resolve soon.
When do you think the next time we're going to record is? Because you're not really around for a lot of the next couple weeks, right?
No, just until the 27th. So we wouldn't have recorded by then anyway.
Oh, we can be on schedule the week of New Year's?
Yeah, we can be on schedule.
I mean, my kids will be home, but it is what it is.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We have some news that we still have to cover. We have data. We have November data that's not going to get covered until January. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a few more thoughts about our trip as well. So... All right. Thank you guys very much. And I guess we'll probably, you'll hear us next in 2025, our 10th year of recording.
It's crazy.
I know.
260 is, you know, if we do every other week, 26 episodes a year, 260 is like 10 years worth of episodes. Although we'll get there in under 10 years.
Yep. It'll be under 10 years because we used to care about the podcast.
Right. I think if anything's clear, it's that, you know, 10 years in, this is the level of caring you're going to get. That's as diplomatic as I'll put it.
Our, yeah, standards have gone down. All right. Well, thank you guys very much. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and we'll talk to you all in 2025.
let it be known. I always want to just go gamble, and you're always like, why don't we go to a bar? Why don't we go do something that's not gambling for once? Why don't we go to the outlets and buy shoes?